This is the John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to Rate My Mum, the new name for, well, not just this podcast, but a whole new direction for me in my career. I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't know how this happened. I don't know if you can remember, Angela. We were having a lovely time talking about Christmas.
Lovely time. Then suddenly photos of mums everywhere.
Started asking for pictures of everybody's mums and rated them according to whose I felt was the best and which one might be most grateful to receive a Sunday dinner. It's just one of those things that happened.
Could happen to anyone, John.
I think it could. I don't think so, actually. I'd be surprised if Michael Ball's show has ever gone that way.
Do you think?
Yeah, I'd love to think
Elaine's Sunday love songs on Radio 2, that's never gone that way, has it?
Yeah, definitely. I'd feel better about myself if it had. But it was a bit of fun. Thank you for all your input. We have a cracking WhatsApp about the Grinch from a man I incorrectly label as bald. So I'd like to apologise to Steve for implying that he's anything other than a hirsute god of the valve industry. And I don't know what else to say, really.
Yeah.
If you've come this far, you're probably going to listen to the podcast, aren't you?
Well, you might as well.
I don't really know what the point of this
bit is. I mean, it'd be pointless stopping now, wouldn't it?
I mean, what is this, really? Well, how bad would this link have to be to put people off listening to the podcast?
Well, I think we're going to find out, John.
I think this is it. I wonder how many listeners we've lost at this point who just said, if we can't even get it together to just give a pithy introduction to the podcast, then I'm not listening to it.
Yeah, fair few, I'd say.
Yeah. How long should I hold this pause for? Here's the podcast. Chickened out. Chickened out.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. John Richardson and Angela Barnes here. Rico and Barnsey.
Love it.
You still happy with Barnsey?
I love Barnsey. Yeah, yeah.
I think if I was to give myself a new nickname this week, I think it would be the croupier.
Oh, yeah. What have you been up to?
I've been shuffling, mate.
Have you?
I've done more shuffling than
John, it's breakfast radio.
Casino croupier this week. It snowed here on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't melt. It never got above freezing where I am. So it's just a thick, compacted layer of icy snow. I went for a walk yesterday. Felt about 95 years old. I was properly... I had to tell my daughter that I was worried if I might have a fall.
Oh, that's it. It's the have a fall, not fall over.
Yeah, but I made it back.
Well done.
It's properly snowing here. Angela is back this week. Because of what happened this week, this is not the cleanest show on radio, but certainly the tidiest. So let's wrap up a few things from last week.
Lovely.
I'll be honest with you, you're Angela.
I am Angela.
Did you know that?
Thank you. I'm not sure this time of the morning, but thanks for reassuring me.
No, I can confirm that. You are Angela. I can see you on screen. You're here because this is how you described my body on last week's show. Yeah, that's all natural, mate.
Do you know, fun fact, when I walked into the studio this morning, I didn't even realise I'd done it, but I walked in and went, whoa, mama. I think I've got a catchphrase, John. I've never had one before.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
It's never too late, is it?
No, look at that, 48 and got a catchphrase.
It's a good one as well, because you can use it really sarcastically.
Oh, yeah.
As I think you did last week, the atmosphere in the studio this week, I can see you all laughing. The atmosphere seems so good in the studio. I'm slightly offended.
Well, you know, John, you could be here. You've been invited.
Yeah, I think you get on better when I'm not there. I'm not going to lie. I also mentioned last week I was thinking about getting a dog, and we had some mostly supportive messages, but Steve got in touch with this advice.
Hiya, John. Valdman Steve here. You mentioned last week about getting a dog. Word of advice. Don't bother. Can't go out. No social life. World evolves around dog. On plus side, if you don't want to go places and you're quite antisocial, then it's a good excuse. Oh, sorry. Can't go. Nobody to look after dog. Kind regards. Valdman Steve.
Do we need to do a welfare check on Steve? I'm a little bit worried. Steve, if you're out there, just give us a little text. Let us know you're all right.
Bald man Steve there. I think he's got a lot to teach me.
Yeah.
Steve.
I like how he said, you know, if you want a social life, don't get a dog. Like he doesn't know who you are, John.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just would be pleased to be invited. Finally, let's put an end to this now. There are still messages coming in about whether a cave can exist on top of a mountain. It's the hot debate we're having.
Goodness me.
To put an end to it once and for all. Here is Gav.
Hiya, John. It's Gav, mate. Quick one for you. Ori, the cave on top of a mountain. Where did the Grinch live? If you can't have a cave on the top of a mountain. I'm with you. Love the show, mate.
Where did the Grinch live? I don't think I know. Presumably in a cave on top of a mountain.
Yeah, he does. He does live in a cave on top of a mountain. I'm going to rewatch the Grinch this week. There was a sort of edit point there where it sounded like Gav had spoken for so long we'd had to cut a middle bit where he goes from being out and about to clearly in his car.
Is that what happened? We cut a middle bit out of Gav's speech.
I think Gav has just sent us a podcast there on whether a cave could exist on the top of a mountain.
So download, like and subscribe. Gav's podcast, available at all good podcast outlets.
Absolutely. And if you have a regional accent as strong as those from all the other people who've got in touch, then I would love to hear from you. So if you want to text us this morning, it's 81215. WhatsApp is 0330 123 1215. Email is john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Coming up, I have a very, very big question for you. And it's one that I will abide by the result of the democratic process, but it's relevant to me today. I would like an answer. I will ask you shortly.
John Richardson. All right, see. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
What about the Grinch, eh?
Eh?
Eh? What about the Grinch? You don't hear enough arguments, one, with that sentence.
You
just
don't.
Start saying it more. Where's the Grinch live then, eh?
Eh?
If a cave can be on top of a mountain, eh? Where's the Grinch live in a semi-detached house? Eh? You don't know what you're talking about, mate. So anyway, I downloaded a Christmas film this week.
But it's November, John.
Well, I was very sheepish about it. I thought, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Do you? Muppet Christmas Carol. I think it's...
Oh, that's allowed all year round.
Okay, fine. Yeah. It's a good entry point into Christmas. Then I thought, here's the big question. I know you'll have a strong opinion on it, Angela. I think I'm calling Christmas now. I think I'm going to put my Christmas tree up after the show today.
Yep.
I think I'm going to eat mince pies. It's snowing here. The world is on fire. What is Christmas for, if not to get you through weekends like this?
Absolutely. So, I agree. I know you think I'd be a Christmas Grinch, but I'm not. I love Christmas.
Okay, good.
I start eating mince pies the minute they're in the shop. Like, I am queuing outside
Easter.
The supermarket. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty
thank much. You, Brussels.
Eh?
Or whatever.
No, Brussels are for Christmas Day. but I don't see what... Like you say, the world's burning. Everything's grim. Enjoy your Christmas. Don't worry about it. If you want to put your tree up now, put your tree up now. It doesn't matter.
Why are you
it's not hurting
adverts?
Anyone. I should be, shouldn't I?
The world's burning. Everything's on fire. Enjoy your Christmas.
Put your tree up.
That's all you need, isn't it? If people feel massively strongly either way, I'm willing to be swayed. But I think I'm going a week early, 8, 12, 15. If you want to let me know whether it's fair to call Christmas now, I think I'm going for it. I've got Christmas jumpers on standby, mate. I've got Christmas films for weeks. Also this week, we have lots of questions. My daughter came back from school with one glove this week. As a result of that, I have been singing E17's Everybody in the House of Love to one glove, everybody in the House of Glove.
Beautiful.
I reckon I've sung that 1,000 times.
I've got a quick question. Did she
yes,
go
please.
To school with two gloves or did she go to school with no gloves and find a glove?
What sort of parent do you think I am, mate?
Two gloves, lost one. Got
she
you.
She went to school with two gloves, a scarf and a hat.
You but need no, to get the string through the back of her coat like we used to have when we were kids, you know, to keep the gloves on. That's what you need.
Yeah, it's one of these new health and safety things now, attaching a string around your kids' heads. They don't like it
they
anymore.
They don't like it, can't
it's
do it.
It's not the good old days of the 80s anymore.
Oh, health and safety gone mad, I tell you.
So if there's a song that you regularly ruin or someone around you ruins, if something happens and a song pops up in your mind and you sing it to the annoyance of everyone else around you, I'd like to know about that as well. I also, this week, was going through old diaries and I found a diary entry when I was 14 years old that says, I would love to be a comedian, but I think I'll end up being a teacher.
Oh, John!
It was very special to hold it in my hand.
So did you remember writing it? Did it to transport you back there?
Not really. It does prove that, because what's insane, I applied for a job as a forensics officer with Avon and Somerset Police before I tried comedy. So I knew at 14 I wanted to be a comedian, yet still at some point I thought, probably better off being a forensics officer.
Better pension. That's
yeah,
what you
absolutely.
Thought.
And I got through to the interview stage, and even the interviewer said, I don't think you really want to be a forensics officer.
I think you want to be a comedian.
Someone that you know for half an hour in a dry room in Portishead knows more about what you want to do with your life than you do. So if you've manifested something in your life, if there's something that you wanted that happened, I would love to know about that as well. We're also frequently told that we are the soundtrack to something else that's going on in your life. So if you're listening to us while you're watching something else happen, I'd like to know about that. And of course, as we always do, we will do smugness, shock news. I'm smug today.
Are you, John? Can I bring you down?
You can have a go, mate. I did something at 7:15 this morning that made me feel like a very clever boy. More on that. And this question kicks off every week. It's not one I'm proud to ask, but people seem to love joining in. So are you listening to us dressed or not dressed? We will do the literal police as well if you spotted anyone misusing the word literally. I had two correct uses of the word literally this week. I saw them say it and I was like, here we go. And then they used it correctly. I was very disappointed.
Oh, that's annoying.
It is annoying, but we've got a couple this week. So if you have any more, we'd love to know. Text us 81215, WhatsApp 0330123 1215, or email John with or without an H, depending on whether he wants it read or not, at absoluteradio.co.uk.
We've had a little apology, John, from Loki has sent a message in to say she's sorry because she called me, Angela Barnes, godly lady last week.
Yes.
And says, I felt so much shame I couldn't even text back to say sorry, so I plucked up the courage to text this week. But in my defence, they do sound similar. Now, I'm not sure how I feel about that, if I'm honest. Do I sound like Kerry Godley? I suppose we're both from the southeast, both got a little bit of an estuary twang.
Yeah, it is quite unpleasant.
Thanks. Thanks, mate.
It is a similarly grating noise.
Yeah. That's why you have to alternate us, isn't it? Sort of. You could never have us both in the same room at once. It'd be like a critical mass of whinge.
I haven't wanted to say it, but I have to have the cameras on because I'm never quite sure which one of you is here either.
Fair enough.
So it's a fair point. I have a similar thing with people confuse me with, you know, those toys you used to get that's a tube and you turn it upside down and it goes. I think we sound very similar. No, I don't think you sound similar at all.
No, I think we've got a different vibe. Yeah. So thanks, Loki. That was we appreciate that. Thank you.
Have you got any songs that you sing voluntarily, changing the lyrics to annoy people?
I've got a few, but only one that I can think of that's broadcastable. I'll tell you the rest off air, which is the Kylie Minogue song, Can't Get You Out of My Head. And my friend, I used to share a flat with my friend Kirsty, and we would dance around singing Can't Get You Out of My Shed. So I can't hear that song without singing that. We didn't have a shed, but if we had had a shed, Kylie would be in it.
Do you know who's got a shed? Kerry Godliman's got a
shed. Kerry Godliman's got a shed. Of course she has.
She'll be singing that. Producer Jeff's got a shed. He'll be singing that this week. I find Match of the Day is very triggering for me because there are certain footballers that I couldn't be a football commentator because I would just sing their name to Brighton, have a player called Mitoma. And every time I hear his name, I go, my Mitoma. And I think, apart from the rights issues, that would get on people's nerves if I was commentating.
It'd be a bit of a wrinkle in the commentary, wouldn't it, that? It would be. Stall it a bit.
Any opinion on whether I should be going for Christmas early or not?
Yeah, we've got Pete. Oh, no, I'm going to get Pete's surname. I'm going to do my best here, Pete. I think it's Strokosh. Strokosh.
Okay. You're going to apologise next week.
I'll just do it with confidence. Yeah. Pete the Roofer has called himself. That's much easier. I don't know why I didn't just go with that. I've tried to say his full name. Pete the Roofer. There we go. That'll do. He said he was going to put the outside Christmas lights up today, but thanks to Storm Bert, indoor play only.
Bert is coming. Do you want to know a thing about me that I think would surprise you?
Always, John.
My outdoor Christmas lights are already up. And do you know why?
Why?
I didn't take them down last year.
No.
Didn't take them down. They've been up all year.
I can't believe that about you, John.
Does that shock you? Yeah, they're still up.
That's possibly the most shocking thing you've ever said to me. What about the bad luck thing? Are you superstitious about that?
Everything's fine with me. I've had a cracking year. completely disproved that.
I'm sorry, I can't speak.
Oh, no.
Take your decorations down, kids. I think that's what we've learned. 6th of January. That's when they've got to come down.
I'm just going to pop outside and take them down now.
Yeah, I would.
Shock news here. The snow has turned to rain. I don't know if you want a weather update from my window. I think the snow hasn't got long left, so the snowman will be going. But it looks like I'm going early with Christmas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I think people seem to agree.
No objections.
No objections at all to your lights being up all year. Were they switched on, though, John? That's the thing I'm worried about.
No, one set in a tree I left on.
Right.
Because they bring me joy.
Fair enough, mate.
Yeah, I like joy.
Yeah, joy's good.
Yeah, I think so.
And have you got is it just lights, or have you got like a Santa and a sleigh up there all year?
Oh no, they've gone. They're in the garage, mate. Don't
they're in the garage. Okay,
them.
That's fine.
They're away.
We've got I live in a flat, and the balcony below us. Our balcony's on the main road, and the balcony below us. The guy that lives there, he always puts out a Santa or a snowman with a fishing rod. And he'll dangle things from the fishing rod, like one of his wife's bras or something. It's really...
Oh, okay.
But when people are visiting, it means we can say, just go, you know, we live in the flat above the bra. So that's
handy.
The bra man.
I like that. Is it different? Is it different every day? Does he put a different
thing on
there?
He puts a different thing on the fishing rod every day. And sometimes the Santa, he's got a Santa that drops his trousers. So sometimes he's doing a little moon out to the road.
A little blue Christmas.
Little blue Christmas. Why not? Puts a bit of joy in the traffic
the
coming past, you know?
The thing I'm most excited to get out today is my little Santa. And when you press the button, it plays the Benny Hill theme and has a little run around the living room.
Brilliant.
It's my Christmas toy of choice. I've also got a sad looking dog that sings Lonely This Christmas by Mud. That's for when she's gone to bed.
I think we should give that to Steve, the valve man who called in earlier. I think that sounds like his sort of vibe. We've also had, John, we've had messages about the songs, changing the lyrics to songs.
Yes.
I think you're going to like this one. This is from Tim in York. He changes the Nelly Furtado song, She's a Man Eater, to Cheese and Ham Eater. That's great. Cheese and ham eater. Oh,
that is worth making a cheese and ham sandwich just so you can do that.
Satisfying.
That has changed the entire direction of my lunch. Oh, here she comes. Oh, because it works for the whole song.
Yeah.
Watch out, sandwich, I'll chew you up. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness, Tim, you have made John Richardson so happy. If you could see his smiling little face right now. He's so happy.
Yeah, food-related ones are good. We used to, on the sitcom, there's a camera people, whenever they're about to start filming for real, they say turning over, and I would without fail. I mean, every time. You're talking like across a series, maybe 800 takes. Every time they'd say turning over, and I'd go over and over and over and over.
I bet they
hated
you.
I tell you when that
you.
Stopped being funny. Second take, that stopped being funny.
All right, John, come on. We've got to finish. Otherwise, we'll have to pay overtime. Come on, John.
Keep those coming in. I want the songs that you sing for no reason when you're doing a trivial task. They're really cheering me up. Thank you.
It's going off, this one, John. We've got one here. I can't see. I haven't got your name, so sorry about that. But it says, hi, John and the gang. When I used to give our son a bath, I would always sing, Here Come the Hot Shower. Here Come the Hot Shower. Yeah. Beautiful. I love these. They're great.
It's because they said giving a bath.
Yeah.
And then they've referenced a shower.
Oh, John, don't be picky. Come on now.
Okay.
You can give someone a shower in the bath.
Oh, I'll sing it in the shower. Don't you worry about that. I would like a bath one. I bet there's a bath one.
I bet there is. Have a think about it, John.
Oh, I will do.
How about this one? I think you like this one. Every time my girlfriend put on her grey bra, she sings at the grey bar. Grey bra. At the grey bra. That's really hard to say. That's
is
beautiful.
That...
Although I will question, was the bra meant to be grey?
That was my first thought.
Yeah, that just went in a dark wash, didn't it? That was a white bra.
Oh, it's just a bra that served the test of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
A loyal servant.
All bras are eventually grey bras, let's be honest.
It's very philosophical.
Absolutely.
Very philosophical. It's time to catch up with the poetry. I feel we've already had quite a lot of poetry with the changing of song lyrics today. But last week, you remember Tracy, who is one of our resident poets, sent in a poem that turned out to be a very thinly disguised request for tickets to Absolute Radio Live.
Oh, yes.
It was successful. She was invited down to the gig. I haven't heard this, but I'm excited to tell you she has since penned another poem and has given her thoughts on the gig. Here it is.
Ooh.
Dear John, thanks for the tickets. Absolute Live was very funny. In this I include your cardigan. Was that a gift from Mummy? Judy loves so funny. Josh was simply fab. But the star of the show for me was the very lovely Matt. What a humble, wonderful man. Truly an inspiration. Sharing the stage with you and that cardigan of damnation. Poor Matt, he's been through so much. And to subject him to that knit... I thought you two were friends. Have a word with yourself, you twit. Joe doesn't know I've sent this. We agreed we'd write together. But I had a score to settle. Now I can let it rest forever. I suggest you do the same for your cardigan of shame. But don't donate it to charity. I feel they'd lose out on the disposal fee.
John!
That was a...
Are you all right, mate? That was... That tore you apart.
I mean, it's... Listen, sure, I saw the pictures back of the gig. Perhaps the cardigan was on the large side. Perhaps there was a looseness to it. But to imply that that cardigan was somehow made the year of a man who's had spinal surgery to remove cancer worse, I mean, I tell you what, if you want me to make a choice... Of the two resident poets, whose work gets to go forward? That's the best week Joe has had as our resident poet. She didn't send the poem in.
Tracy, that was a risky move you made there. I'm not quite sure what your end goal there was, but...
It was a big cardigan, wasn't it?
That was... I didn't see the cardigan. What colour was it?
It was a... Well, I mean, the people in the studio were there. They'd probably give you a fairer appraisal. Mm. I'd say it was... Do you know when you make... you know on telly when they make a pea soup or something like that and it's this lovely vibrant green colour?
Yeah.
And then you make one at home and it's sort of brown version of that.
Baby poo.
That's what colour my cardigan was.
Yeah, nice.
It was too big. It was too big. But, well, I tell you what.
But,
what
John, isn't that better than too small?
No,
a
I don't think so.
A cardigan that's bursting at the buttons, that's worse, isn't it?
Well, not when you've got a body like mine, I believe
I'm
quoting you. Oh, mama. Listen, there is a vacancy for resident poet on the John Richardson Show on Absolute, so if you would like to write a poem that isn't an absolute onslaught of abuse about my knitwear, send it to us anytime, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. Saturday morning, I think, is a particularly smug time to be on the radio.
Yeah.
I think, if you know, I tell you, there's a lot of like, oh, Susie's just smashed the park run in like 3 hours and 7 minutes.
Well,
and...
do you know what? Susie didn't, her alarm didn't go off at 4:30 this morning like mine did. So who's the real smug one? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also there's like, there's big guests knocking about, isn't there? Talking about what films they've got as if acting is in some way valid. So this show is the home of the opposite of that. This is where if you've got someone who's going to be smug, I'll bring them down a peg or two for you. Yeah. And we want to celebrate. I'll tell you what I'm smug about.
Yeah.
I got set up this morning for the show, 7 a.m. on the button, fully dressed, because I joked last week, oh, I'm going to be steadily less dressed throughout the month of November.
We've only got proof your top half's dressed, to be fair, John.
I got a snazzy winter trouser on.
Okay,
a sort of
nice.
Green gingham thing. My arm on my chair is a bit wobbly. Needed an Allen key. I went straight into my toolbox. I put my hand on the right Allen key and I tightened that right up. 7:15 on a Saturday morning, put your hand right on the Allen key you need. What sort of a man are you?
I'd say
the best kind.
A man who doesn't use his toolbox enough because the Allen keys are at the top. That's what I'd say, John.
Oh, it's all Allen keys these days, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if all you do is buy furniture from a certain Swedish store, then
it's all of them.
But
now,
if you were a proper DIY man, those Allen keys would be somewhere. You wouldn't use an Allen key, you'd use a spanner or something.
No, it's Allen keys, the only tool that we need now. That's it.
for everything.
You don't use screwdrivers anymore. It's Dunelm, it's Argos, it's all the big players.
Yeah.
It's all Allen Key these days. What are you smug about?
I'll tell you what I'm smug about, John. I was very lucky this week. I hosted an awards ceremony this week and they put me up in a nice hotel, right?
Pride of Britain.
Which meant wasn't quite Pride of Britain, no. But on that theme, if you're in the pharmaceutical industry. But however,
the Pride of Botox Awards.
Yeah, they did put me up in a nice hotel in London and breakfast was included.
Yes.
And I went
it
down.
It should always be, by the way.
It should always be, but it isn't always. We know that,
it's
don't we, John?
Shameful.
It isn't
have
always.
Have you ever had it when you trot down there and they go, oh, your room's not on the list?
Yeah, and no, then you just have to, with shame,
we
go
have to
back
decide
to your room.
Whether you're going to play 18 quid for a cooked breakfast or you're just going to shuffle off and go, oh, no, I'm not even hungry, bye.
Yeah. Oh, I go, oh, thank goodness. I was worried that it had been paid for and I didn't actually want one. But I went into the breakfast room and it was a breakfast buffet, but a posh one. And I didn't go mad. Like, I was like, oh, I've reached a point now in my career where no longer do I have to go mad at a breakfast buffet and go, it's free, Angela, eat as much as you can to last you the week, if possible. I just had a bowl of granola and yogurt and fruit, and that was it.
Oh, mate.
I didn't have any of the cooked breakfast.
I don't think that's anything to be smug about.
Do you not?
I think that's like saying, I walked past a sweet shop that was handing out free sweets and I thought, actually, I'll just have a sugar crash. I don't know what part of your soul has died that you don't go big on a hotel breakfast anymore.
That someone else has paid for. You're right, I've missed out. I wonder if I could go back and get it now.
You've got to go three courses when it's someone else's dollar, haven't you?
Yeah, I suppose you have. Oh, God, they have really nice pastries as well, and I didn't have one.
Shall I tell you something I picked up from now headline news, Matt Ford?
Go on.
He has a bit of toast to get him going.
Mm.
Then he has his cooked breakfast. Then he has his cereal as pudding.
Breakfast pudding?
He has breakfast pudding. So he'll have a big bowl of like Cocoa Pops or something like that, third off, and it's like breakfast pudding. Still don't know how I feel about it. I don't think I approve.
I mean, it's sort of genius. I don't know if I could do it first thing in the morning, but I'm going to try.
Absolutely.
I'll report back from next time I stay in a hotel on how breakfast pudding goes.
Well, I don't want you able to report back. What I want off the back of this, I want you so crippled by overeating that you're unable to communicate with anyone for the rest of the day.
Right, I reckon I can do that.
I'll tell you what, if you want your smugness questioned on a Saturday morning, why don't you ask complete strangers what they think of a cardigan you wore at a charity performance a week ago? We'll have an update on my cardigan. I think the pictures are probably online if you want to have a look at what I chose to wear at the Palladium.
It's a nice cardi, John, but nice I just cardigan. Don't know. You were on stage at the Palladium, mate.
It didn't. We'll come to my cardigan. We'll come to my... I need to prepare my rebuttal. during the week, Kevin South Wales did exactly what we asked you to do. He got in touch to reveal what he's smug about at the moment.
Hi, John. I'm smug this week because for the last 20 years, I've been hiding a large stuffed pink and purple dragon in my mum and dad's house. My mum tries to get us back and hide it when they visit here. The dragon and its identical child we found about 10 years ago are currently at their house. They've been in washing machines, fridge freezers, and even hanging from a rope outside their bedroom window. But the best spot was perched on their loft hatch, especially when they fell down an unsuspecting mum. I understand the screams were heard for miles. Cheers.
Bit dark, that, wasn't it, in places?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'd need to see a picture of the mum, really, just to work out how much sympathy I have. It sounds like it's all just a bit of fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, a bit of fun.
Producer Will laughing at me asking for pictures of someone's mum there. I assume that's the sort of joke the young people make these days, is it? It's a perfectly innocent request. Send me pictures of your mum's.
Oh, don't, John. I'm the one who's got to look at the text messages coming in. Don't say that.
I did a similar thing when I lived with Matt Ford with a toy rat that my friend Danny bought. We used to hide it around the house. And there's something about a payoff when you're not even there that makes it emphasises the purity of the prank.
Yeah, because you're not doing it for your reaction. You're just doing it for the pure joy of a prank.
Yeah, I don't even need to see you be upset. I just need to know that it happened.
Yeah.
I hid the rat in the microwave, and Danny was away. I went away for a week. I knew Fordy wasn't having soup for 2 or 3 days, but at some point while I was away, he was going to put some soup in the microwave and throw it all over himself. That's exactly what happened, because he felt safe because I wasn't there.
Oh, so yeah, they can't get me while they're away. Oh, they can.
Exactly. He'd a bit of, sure, the first day, maybe he thought I'd hidden something in his bed. He'd never check in the microwave. Day three, tomato soup all down himself.
I bet he checks in the microwave now every single day.
Yeah, triggered. Yeah. I don't think, I've got no intention of undermining that smugness, Kev. I think if you can, if 20 years on, you can still be torturing your parents to get you through the winter months, then I'm absolutely fine with it.
Absolutely. You've got to do what you've got to do to get you through.
I think a little notification has just pinged up on my phone. I think I might have been sent a picture of producer Jeff's mum. Have I? Okay.
So are we all sending John a photo of our mums? All right, fine, we'll do that.
I would like mum pictures, please.
Literally everyone in the studio has just picked up their phone.
I'll tell you, what a link this is going to be. Stay tuned, because I'll tell you who's got the best mum and what people think of my cardigan. Woo, absolute radio. Could it get any better than this?
He's done 8 hours. 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show. Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's the Mum Picture Special, John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio.
Speaking of mums, John, we've had some texts about your cardi. That's quite, mums and cardis are in the same sort of wheelhouse, aren't they, somehow?
It is, absolutely, isn't
they
it?
They really are. We've had a text from Nanny Jan, and she likes your cardi so much. She'd like to know where you got it, and says, us nannies love a cardi.
Oh, that's nice. See? It'll be a high street fashion retailer. That's lovely. All it'll be, Nanny Jan.
Lovely.
I've never made a special trip. I don't really buy clothes online.
Have you ever had anyone knit you a cardi? I'll crochet you one, John.
You'd crochet me an actual cardigan,
I'll
would you?
I'll crochet you a cardi, John.
I've got a sort of a white cable knit jumper that was knitted by my Auntie Pam.
Aww.
But I don't think anyone's ever knitted me a cardigan.
I'll have a go. It might not be great, but you'll have to wear it because you'll feel bad if you don't. And that'll make me laugh.
I'd also have to do something of equivalent niceness, and I don't have any skills.
You could make me something with an Allen key. Maybe.
I'll put you some flat pack together. If you've got any flat pack that's
job
bothering
done.
You.
Always I'll... flat pack. To be done in my house. Oh yeah.
What concerns me, and I'm not questioning Nana Jan at all, and her opinion is as valid as anybody else's. I think for Nana Jan to say she likes it is at odds slightly with it being appropriate wear for a function at the London Palladium. I think that's the issue.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Linda from Cambridge has texted in, and she says that her husband and her were at the Palladium on Sunday night, and she says, and this is quite a sort of, she's put this very nicely, says she thought your choice of cardigan and trouser colour was understated.
Oh. Yeah. Well, do you know what didn't help me? Matt Ford wore a full suit. He wore a lovely suit. And do you know what? The suit he wore was the suit from his wedding. And because I was his best man, I have the identical suit. So had we planned it better, we could have come on in matching suits.
Yeah, but then you would have looked like a double act from the 70s.
Well, we were following the afternoon show was hosted by Michael Ball and Alfie Bowe.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I was reliably informed that Michael Ball wore a suit and Alfie Bowe wore a cardigan. And I thought, well, what better omen could there be? I also have been back and forth from various venues this week. I was trying to travel light, so I didn't pack multiple outfits. I can't be bothered carrying a suit bag. So I just stuffed a cardigan and a pair of chinos into my bag. I could have made more of an effort.
Do you
with
know
my appearance.
What? I want you to go back to that 14-year-old John who wrote in that diary.
Yeah.
That he wanted to be a comedian. Oh. I want you to go back to him, and I want you to say, one day you'll host a show at the London Palladium, and you'll be so laissez-faire about it, you'll wear a tatty old cardigan that you took there in a carrier bag. That's what I want you to say to him.
It wasn't in a carrier bag, it was in a backpack.
Same thing.
I think you're right.
You've got to make an effort for the Palladium, John.
I did
the Absolute Live a few years ago. I put heels on, mate. Me.
I had heels on.
Oh, okay.
Nobody commenting on the heels. Not a single. That just goes to show what a smashing cardigan this was. Nobody noticed the thigh-high boots. That's why I had such swagger about me. Oh, I think you're possibly right. Do you know what the thing is? You get, as a comedian, I think I should be judged on the opposite of my appearance.
Yeah.
Is what it is. So I think the minute I start wearing a suit for what does it mean to dress up for a venue?
Well, I do agree with that. Like, as a comic, generally, you want your words to be listened. No one judging what you're wearing, because then they're not listening to your words, right? But there's something about this. Some gigs, I think, that just need that little bit of sparkle, little bit of razzmatazz. And I think, you know, it's home of Sunday night at the London Palladium. Mm. You know, Bruce Forsyth, he's on his ashes, like, underneath that stage.
I was stood on top of him. Stood on top of his ashes in that cardigan.
He wouldn't have gone on there in a cardi, mate.
No, but it was a different era, wasn't it? He probably wouldn't have opened with 5 minutes about hemorrhoids.
Well, probably
so,
not.
I think it's safe to say that Bruce and I are very different ends of the entertainment spectrum.
In many ways. Your tap dancing's not up to scratch either, from what I've heard.
What? No, absolutely not. What then do you wear for certain... I don't know. I think fundamentally, I believe, like, if Les Dawson was around now, someone would have said to him, if you want to host a BBC One primetime evening show, you're going to need to lose some weight and sort that hair out and play the piano properly. And like Eric Morecambe would have been told, get new glasses. Why have you got a plaster on the side of your glasses? Just looks ridiculous. Comb your hair. He would have gone out to Turkey for a hair transplant now, Eric Morecambe.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened if he'd been around now.
Yeah.
He would have been less funny for it. And because those people were supremely funny, the fact that they looked bad was great. Because I'm of average humour, I think I could do with dressing even wackier. That's what this... I tell you what, next time, I'm going to wear a cardigan with nothing underneath it.
Brilliant.
I'm going to wear the cardigan that you have knitted for me.
Great.
This is a pledge. Next time I play the London Palladium, and
right,
by the way, I'm not going to stick to this.
I am knitting this.
You knit me a cardigan.
Yep.
I will go with that on bare skin and high heels. Next time I play the London Palladium.
Oh, my God. Somebody book John into the London Palladium quickly. I hope that whoever books the people in is listening. Get him booked in. Give me 6 months to make a cardi, and then we're good to go.
So it's time to rate the mums. I tell you what, I'm in my element. I really am.
Oh, John, I hope someone's just tuned in.
Well, that's it. Obviously, it's big when you arrive. You want to set up a topic. You want to say, guys, text in. We're talking about this today. And about halfway through the show, it goes where it goes.
It does.
Before you know it, your phone is just alive with pictures of people's mums.
I've never seen you so happy, John, to be honest.
Well, because I know in a minute we're going to talk about pedantry as well. I'm
so
in my wheelhouse.
Look at him.
A lot of people, do you know, more than ever this year, I don't know what it is about my current circumstances, but the Jungle Show has started, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Never had so many people saying, when are you going in the jungle? But saying it as if it's definitely going to happen.
I there's no way you would go in that jungle.
You not think?
I don't think you could handle it, John. I don't think you'd pass. Surely there's a psychology test you have to do first. I don't think you'd pass it, if I'm honest.
Lobbing huntsmen's at people.
Yeah,
No, I don't think I would. But what worries me is the perception of people around me. That I think most people used to think what you think, and now they think, TikTok.
Hello.
Surprised not to see you on the plane. I'm very flattered that you've sent me pictures of you mums. And I honestly... I will treat them with the respect they deserve because it's a great show of trust. And you have everyone in the studio. I'm looking at your mums now.
I mean, what people at home don't know, and this is what's slightly concerning, is you're looking at pictures of our mums, but you have turned your camera off.
Yes, I have. Well, I haven't turned it off. I've had to come out of the app through which I look at you to look at the mums.
Right.
But I can assure you there's nothing sinister going on.
Okay, good. Okay, fine.
I'm going to start with Kev's mum. I love... the picture that Kev's mum has sent of his mum is a lovely one because the mum, it's weird to refer to as the mum, but she's not looking at the camera, and I like pictures that aren't staged. So
right.
What I love is it's just an intimate moment. It's two people cuddling and one looks like a balcony. It could be a boat on a jetty. I don't know. But his mum is just smiling away, looking into the eyes of the person she's with.
So it's what you're really... saying, John, is you like photos where you're a bit voyeuristic. That's what I'm hearing, John.
I like to see mums in the wild.
Right,
I don't like to see staged mums. And every other mum pick is a staged mum. I've got to say, you've all got cracking mums.
Yeah.
You've all got lovely, lovely mums.
I happen to know my mum's listening to this, so if you could say hello to Linda, that would be lovely.
Well, I'll say hello to Linda, and I'll say you looked absolutely smashing at Angela's wedding.
Yeah, she did, didn't she?
very. She's clutching onto the hat. Is that
the hat's about to blow off her head? I love that photo. She's having a little giggle. It's very sweet.
Again, it's not a staged photo, is it? You've tried to get a nice one, but you're looking off to the side. She's trying to keep the hat on.
Yeah.
It's chaos. Everybody's having a laugh.
Oh yeah.
It's a lovely mum pic.
Yeah.
A mum at a wedding, though, you know, very different to. I mean, Jeff's mum. This is a work of art. Mm. Jeff's mum is. She's in a field of lavender.
Beautiful.
Which is, I mean, it's just a beautiful picture. It's been taken in portrait mode, might I add as well. So there's a lovely blurring. It really brings the mum into the foreground. she's got a determination in her eye and in her stance, which says she's come to this field of lavender to get something done. And I don't know what it is, but she's not just ambling through that field of lavender. She's got business there.
Do you know what? I reckon Jeff's mum makes lavender bags. You know, the little things you put in your drawer to keep your underwear smelling nice. I think she's got her eye on that lavender. She's going to make some lavender bags. For you mark my words, Christmas, everyone in Jeff's family is getting a lavender bag.
She's tooled up, isn't she? She's taking that lavender.
She's ready to go.
She's getting her lavender, whether she wants it or not.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Will's mum now at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's, I mean, my favourite mum smile, if I might say so, Will. This is weird radio, isn't it? But I've sort of got to get through it now.
I'm looking at it now. That is a lovely mum's. Oh, she's got such a friendly face, your mum, Will.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't mean to besmirch the other mums. They're all lovely mums. But if I was to speculate on which mum would be most grateful to be cooked a meal, it would be Will's mum.
Yeah.
There'd be a little tear if you put her down a meal. She'd be so grateful.
And even if it was horrible, she'd eat it out of love.
Oh, she would.
Wouldn't she?
She would. She'd say, "You've really come on, Will."
Yeah, well done. You've managed to get the tin open this time, Will.
And
well
then I've got,
done.
I've got two pictures of Charlie's mum. And again, it's a lovely, smiley, happy mum. Credit to you. What I really like, and in terms of the picture, this is why it's my favourite. I've got a mum at a wedding. I've got a mum in a field of lavender. I've got a mum on holiday. And I've got a mum on a day out of the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Then I've got a picture of a mum against a brick wall underneath a lockbox. It's a lovely picture. It hasn't been cropped at all.
Oh, no,
so 50% of that picture is brick wall. The mum is basically an afterthought. It's like you were taking a picture of a fuse box and a lockbox and your mum's just crept in there.
What I love most about that is Charlie is the youngest in the room, the most Gen Z of all of us. You'd think she'd have it cropped for Instagram, but no, it's au naturel.
Cracking mums. I mean, do I say send me a picture of your mum, John, at absoluteradio.co.uk? I think I already have. Coming up, we will be doing the literal police. The cardie's off, the police helmet's on. John's getting serious.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John Richardson on Absolute Radio, alone in the hallway of his house, because that's where he has to plug into the router, watching a studio full of people laughing and eating cookies together.
Sorry, John, I have got a mouthful of cookie, but I showed you it on the camera. Look, yum.
That's as good as eating it, isn't
it? Yeah.
Looking at a cookie, that's what we know. Right, it's time for this.
That's the sound of
literal
police. That's the sound of
literal
police.
We are the literal police. You've got to use your platform for something. We could have addressed climate change, gender inequality and poverty, but we are here to teach the world how to use the word literally correctly. I rely on you for this. You are my eyes and ears. During the week, Stan got in touch and in their email said, "Hello, Doozy from the BBC." Anyone who starts their email, Doozy's getting read out. Doozy from the BBC 6 o'clock news. Respected correspondent Victoria Derbyshire literally asking questions while interviewing Jeremy Clarkson. Here's the offence in question.
I am not expressing opinions. I'm literally asking you questions. Do you know that, Mr. Clarkson?
Right. Well,
that's all right, isn't it? She is literally asking questions.
She is literally asking questions. I think it's our first ever, and I don't mean to criticise Stan. I'm pleased that you sent us the clip, but I'm pleased to say, as a fan of her work, Victoria Derbyshire, not guilty.
Absolutely. She is a free woman.
Off you go, Victoria, back into the wild where you may literally ask questions.
Mm.
I'm glad she didn't give Clarkson any reason to feel he was one up in that argument.
Absolutely.
Now, here's a tricky one. This is a man who and I'm going to use the word myself here, has literally just got off a bicycle having ridden 100 miles for a children's charity, and he's handing over a massive cheque. Paddy McGuinness, here he is.
I am literally, underneath these clothes, it's all sellotape and safety pins. Literally.
It's not, though, is it, Paddy?
It's not, Paddy, is it?
I mean,
it's
you've done a good thing, Paddy. You've done a good thing.
What do you do here, Angela? Do you accept the fact, of course, he's exhausted? He's just raised millions of pounds that will improve the lives of children nationwide. How do you offset that against his incorrect use of the word literally and the damage that will cause to our children's future?
That's the thing, John. The law is the law, you know, and you can't start having these scales of morality where if you pile up on one side, you get to pile up on the other. That's not how morality works. You know, you could be doing great things, but you can simultaneously be doing bad things.
Angela Barnes says Paddy McGuinness guilty.
Yes, I think.
In jail. Why don't you next time? Why don't you cycle the length of a country on a kid's bike and then use the grammar correctly
interview? That's all we're asking.
Be exhausted and broken, but for heaven's sake, use the right terminology. If you spot any offenders that you want the literal police to get in touch with, get in touch. The email is john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
It's time now to discuss some of the news that wasn't in the news that perhaps might have been in the news that is news or perhaps not news with Angela Barnes.
Oh, that confused me, that did, John. You went all around the houses there with that. And I think,
know, it's what I do.
Yeah, but just I think I've got what you mean.
I'm a riffer. That's why I try and pin me down with a script. I won't have it.
No, too right. I've got some news, John. It's my favourite time of the year. Because it's the time of the year when the dictionaries all announce what their word of the year is.
Oh, yeah. You and Susie Dent get together and have a special dinner.
I love a bit of that. I studied linguistics, me, at Sussex University. So,
I applied for a course with linguistics.
Did you?
They say you don't apply for multiple courses because it looks like you don't know what you're doing. And I applied for 5 different courses at 5 different unis and one with Spanish with linguistics.
Oh, you can't even say it.
No, that's why I didn't go for it in the end. I failed the interview. I got the grades.
What did you end up doing in the end?
Hispanic studies, Spanish and Portuguese.
Because you could say that.
I can say that, yeah. I oddly speak Portuguese better. So I did a year and a term, and then I dropped out and never went back and spent a few years paying off the debt that I'd accrued not getting a degree.
Hey, brilliant. Dropouts unite. Right, I was also a dropout from university, so it's all good, John.
Oh, excellent.
And look at us now. Hey?
Yeah, now look at us. Looking at pictures of mums on the radio.
Yay!
So I just had to break the news to my mum that she said, how's the show going?
Yeah.
And I said, I've just been looking at pictures of everyone's mums.
Aww.
And she said, did you have to send a picture of your mum? And I said, no, I didn't. But then she said, oh, I don't want to not be included. So if you want a picture of my mum, I'll send you one. It's up
Please
to you.
Send a picture of your... I mean, I've met your mum, but I'd love to see a picture of your mum anyway.
All right, I'll send you a picture of
Send a picture of your mum. So the word of the year, we're back to. It's the Cambridge Dictionary, word of the year has just been announced, and it is manifesting.
Oh.
You know, like the influencers do on Instagram and that.
I don't know how I feel about it. Isn't it just living your life and sometimes the things you want happen and sometimes they don't?
Well, I think that's it. I mean, we're constantly thinking about what we want, aren't we? And sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. I don't think you can manifest it. I think it's just coincidence if it happens, right?
Do you know who started all this?
Go on.
Noel Edmonds.
It was it, with his cosmic ordering? Do you remember that?
Cosmic ordering, absolutely, yeah. If you ask the stars for what you want, then you'll get it.
You will. Have you ever manifested?
I wonder what he's asking now. No, I want to know now what Noel Edmonds is asking for, right?
Well, presumably he asked the universe if he could be ignored.
I think he's in his garden in his dressing now, screaming at the sky, asking for what he wants.
Oh, I hope so.
Did I manifest? Did you manifest in my 14-year-old diary?
Oh, yes, of course.
I want to be a comedian.
Yeah, and look at you now.
Is that manifesting?
Sort of, isn't it? It's putting it out in the universe what you want. I'm slightly worried, John, that in 2013, I might have accidentally manifested the global pandemic of 2020.
Why?
Because I found a Facebook post that I wrote in 2013, and it says, when will it be acceptable to do a gig via webcam from my living room? Outside is rubbish. Don't make me leave the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hashtag cry for help.
Hashtag cry for help. And a short 6 years later, my wish was fulfilled.
What responses did you get to that message? I'd be curious to know.
Oh, do you know, I'll have to look it up because I just screenshotted that from earlier. But I'll have a look and see. There's probably a few UOK huns, I should imagine.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that might have been the dawn of that meme. What I'm curious about with the word of the year, that means the word that we use the most, because manifest was already a word. It's not a new thing, is it?
No, I guess it's just the, you know, a word that has come to mean something new, I suppose. It's taken on a new meaning.
All right, I'm going to manifest something before I tell you about my new story. I'm going to manifest something that I want to happen between now and the end of the show. And then at the end, I'll tell you whether it happens or not.
Okay.
All right.
So you're not telling us what you're manifesting?
No, I can't. I'm going to manifest the hell out of it.
You've got to write it down, though, so we know that you don't cheat.
Okay, I'll write it down now. Here we go. Manifesting live. So here's a thing that's in the news this week. And I say in the news this week, it's in the news every week.
Right.
And it's, I am putting this out now as I don't want any more, excuse me, a little bit of windy pops. A little bit of windy pops. Two coffees and a vegan mince pie later.
Just in case anyone was doubting whether this was live or not.
Yeah, absolutely. This sort of headline, we don't need any more, right?
Right.
You have been blank, blank, blank wrong your whole life. I don't need it anymore. And I don't mind it as a little Instagram video, but when it's in actual press and this story has made all the papers, you have been grating cheese wrong your whole life. I mean, I just haven't. I might not be doing it in the most efficient way, but I'm not. People aren't dying when I do it.
If you've had grated cheese, then you've grated cheese. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If it was a block of cheese and then it's loads of little bits of cheese, you've grated cheese.
Yeah. Doesn't really matter how you got there, does it?
Drive over it if you like.
Yeah.
An online person called WhatNav Eats has put a nifty little hack. It's just putting the grater on its side. She says, lay the grater on its side, which is much easier. What I will give her is that if you've got one of the, what they're called, box grater.
Yeah.
If you put it on its side, then the grated cheese falls inside the grater, which you can then carry to wherever you need it.
Rather than onto a plate, which is just as easy.
Onto a plate or onto the chopping board or whatever you're using. But, I mean, the fact that it's in the papers is everything you need to know about the quality of media at the moment.
Because it's not, I mean, let's be honest, it's not like it's been a slow news time, is it?
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot going on in the world. There's been snow. There's been all sorts. Like, how is grated cheese getting in there?
And it could be worded very differently because I do think that there is a thing with the social media thing where you log in to sort of yourself up and you just get told, you don't even know how to drink water.
Yeah,
and
you end up
feeling like a pathetic individual. You know, I've only been on there 10 minutes. And also you see little videos of people more talented than you all over the world.
Yeah.
Like someone will just be on holiday and film someone doing kippy uppies in Buenos Aires and you just think, well, I'm not as good as that person and I don't know how to drink water. But you could word that, hey, here's a thing you didn't know about your box grater that makes your life more fun. And instead it's, look at you, a lot of cheese everywhere. I bet your house is covered in grated cheese. I bet you just smashing a block of cheddar against your forehead for half an hour.
How do they know how I grate cheese? For all they know, I might have been grating cheese like that.
Have you?
No.
No. Yeah, you don't know how to grate cheese, mate.
Ugh, what a loser.
I have manifested something.
Oh, have you? What have you manifested?
Yeah, I've manifested something. I've written it down. The show is, we've got about half an hour left, and I hope it will happen before the end of the show. I will have to put it to you beforehand because you'll be able to tell me whether it happens or not.
Is it something that could happen in the studio here?
It's something that will happen in the studio.
It will happen.
Yeah, that's manifesting, Angela. I can't say it might happen.
Of course.
There's
no
doubt about
this. You have to trust the cosmos.
I believe in the cosmos.
Yeah.
It's rewarded me wonderfully, even though I've had my Christmas lights up all year. The cosmos knows what to do.
Yeah. Shame we didn't know about that cardigan.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Well, that was a frankly exhausting link. Something happened there that I did not manifest. related to the topic of song lyrics that you change after my daughter came home from school with one glove. many one glove. There's quite a few, actually.
Yeah.
That apply to one glove.
Oh, yeah, because you've got Bob Marley as well.
You've got Bob Marley, you've got Blue, and you've got E17.
So, oh, nice. You
know, it really is the gift that keeps on giving. Have we had any more?
We've had a few in, actually. We've had, I like this one. This is from, I don't know who it's from, but he says, years ago, I was driving on the motorway when I saw a sign ahead saying, think bike. You've seen those signs, right, John?
I have.
And he started singing it to Phil Collins, that, oh, think bike. That's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that one. Or how about morning, guys? We sing Glenn Frey, is it, or Fry? Glenn Frey, the 80s classic, The Heat Is On, every time we put the heating on. That's from Crystal. Heating's on.
Like that.
That's great. And I'm going to definitely do that one. Then we've got Paige from Fife, who says the song lyrics I changed are the Automatic singing Monster. And instead of singing, what's that coming over the hill? Is it a monster? I used to sing, no, it's my mother.
cruelty to the mother.
I like that she's, you know, keeping with the mum theme of the show,
she
which is
keeping
nice.
With the mum theme.
She says, needless to say, my mum was a bit of a terror. So,
well that suggests,
that's quite a statement.
That's a whole nother text topic.
Yeah. And this one, John, I think you'll like. This is... my husband would sing NWA's Express Yourself every time I was expressing milk. That's such a great visual.
It is as well. And I mean, there are times that that needs to be done maybe at 3 a.m. And
yeah.
I tell you now, I can tell you that the hit rate on that gag is going to be very low.
Yeah. That's... He's probably had a black eye, I should imagine, from doing that gag, but worth it. I'd say worth it.
The number of times he'll have been told not to do that. I'm picturing him sat there like,
I've got to say it.
You mentioned Express Yourself.
Yeah.
In the last, I said, have we got any of these in? You said there's one about Express Yourself. I misunderstood and thought that was Express Yourself. It's one, I'm not going to do it again.
No, okay, don't set me off, John.
Because what happened after that, Angela, you flew.
I've surprised John in the break between us being on air, off air. He was quite surprised to find myself. It wasn't just me. It was Will, producer Will as well.
Yeah.
That we both knew all the words to the John Barnes rap from World in Motion from 1990. That was way before you were born, wasn't it, Will?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I was old enough to know better. But, yeah, and so we gave you a little rendition, didn't we, John?
No, you did not give me a little rendition. You screamed it at me. I was quite frightened. I was like a dog on bonfire night while you two were doing that.
But... quivering. You hid behind all the coats hanging behind you, didn't you, John?
Yeah, I'm lucky to say that Charlie has filmed that. So if you want to head to the Absolute Instagram page, you can see the footage of Angela... completely unprovoked, just absolutely going off like a Catherine wheel to the tune of John
Barnes. This is going to hold me now forever.
Eternal classic. I have been contacted on Instagram by Linda on song lyrics that you change, who says, to the Kooks song Naive, I always sing, I know, she knows, I'm not fond of Arsenal, which may become the anthem of Nottingham Forest fans today. Nottingham Forest away at Arsenal, 3 o'clock. If you want to hear Forest fans potentially having a meltdown. There's been a lot of swagger at Nottingham Forest. A lot of the European days are back. Two Nottingham Forest fans will be on air, Matt Ford and Matt Dyson, at 2 o'clock for Rock and Roll Football. It could go the other way. This is the great gamble. So I'm not going to ask you to text in and ruin their show this week. I think it might happen for them already. I just got this feeling the wheels are going to come off. Matt Ford, if you Google Matt Ford now, you will see the headline, King Laughs at Comedian. Sadly, not a reference to last week's Absolute Live. They don't mean that I am a king of comedy. They mean the actual king.
Oh, I thought the king might have laughed at your cardigan.
No, he wasn't at Absolute Radio Live. He only goes to his own gigs. It was the Royal Variety Show last night. Matt Ford is all across the paper for having made the king laugh. Very proud. Anyone who was at Absolute Radio Live last week would have seen... He was absolutely phenomenal. I will never, ever say this to his face.
He's on form, right?
He was really, really good. He had the staff and surgeons there who'd operated on him were at the Palladium.
Amazing.
I mean, I was stood next to him. It was very hard to know what to say when... It was all the stuff that's hosted by Matt Ford and John Mason. It was hosted by Matt Ford, and I was slightly behind him. He was besuited. He looked fantastic.
He made the effort, John.
He really did make the effort, and his words were wonderful. His impressions that Donald Trump is superb. He really, really was excellent. And he looked so comfortable. And we had a little moment backstage of talking about, it was obviously, it was almost exactly a year, a little over to the point that he rang me to tell me that he'd been diagnosed. And to be on stage at the Palladium a year after together was wonderful. I would put out a call that we've got some photos from sort of the front and we've got some stuff backstage. Haven't got a nice picture where you can see it's the Palladium. So if anyone was in the crowd and they got a picture of me and Matthew on stage together where you've got the sort of surroundings of the Palladium, because the ones we've got are quite close in and it could be anywhere. So if you've got one, I'd love to see it. You can send it to me on social media. If not, I'll just have a picture of your mum. That'll do me, if you don't mind.
John Richardson. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
Earlier on today's show, I put something out into the ether. I manifested my belief. I didn't tell anyone. I wrote it down. I've showed it to the team in the studio. Earlier today, I wrote that I manifest we will receive a text containing the words Yule log. The whole status of manifesting is hanging in the balance here. It's either true or absolute nonsense. Angela, have we received a text with the words Yule log?
I don't know how to tell you this, John, but the cosmos was not listening to you, I'm afraid.
Okay.
We had some Christmas texts, though, so, you know, that's related. But then we were already having
those. We were already getting Christmas texts. Yeah. So does that mean manifesting's nonsense or I am not strong enough to manifest?
Well, only the cosmos knows the answer to that question.
That's the great thing about people who believe in manifesting and stuff like that. They're so emotionally covered that they will just tell themselves it's fine anyway. So you can't insult them because they don't have the emotional capacity to deal with rejection.
That's right. And it will just be the will of whatever spirituality that they are believing in. Yeah.
Absolutely. Loved seeing producer Jeff's face while I was on that little rant.
He looked worried, but he's all right now.
Let's wrap up today's show. Let's tie up our loose ends.
Good. So we've got, I like this one. This is Chris in Sleaford.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you, this strikes me like the sort of thing you'd do, John. He's doing a practice Christmas lunch today.
Good lad.
So he's doing the full works, the turkey, goose fat potatoes, pigs in blankets, sprouts, mate. All of it. But he's having a practice run today.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
Well
done.
You
don't want it to go wrong on the day, do you? That's the thing.
Absolutely.
Gavin from Wolverhampton says, "Hi, John. Don't worry about leaving decks up all year. The city of Wolverhampton have left theirs up and only just changed the bulbs."
Wow. Good.
So they're just different colour bulbs every year, I suppose.
Excellent. Yeah. I like that.
There we go.
Good. We need to name the podcast for today's show.
I mean, it's got to be Rate My Mum, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Sadly, I was thinking about, like, because we criticised my cardigan, maybe like Cardi B Sting.
Oh.
Something like that. Or What About the Grinch? What about the Grinch, yeah?
What about the Grinch, yeah? I can't do it. What a terrible accent that was. Charlie is shaking her head at me right now. I started doing it and went, what are you doing, Angela? You can't do this.
There's no way that when I look back on today's show, I won't think about rating all your mothers. So rate my mum or mum's the word?
Ooh. I like mum's the word, but I think rate my mum's more visceral.
It is. It will grab attention, won't it?
Yeah.
It will lead to
definitely.
Tabloid headlines that might finally finish my career.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
We did promise that we would play Gav's message in full. You can listen to it now and decide for yourself whether Will made the correct decision to edit him down or whether actually Gav should be given more rein on this show. So depending on the response to this, next week it might be the Gav Show on Absolute Radio. But here he is in full ranting about caves and Grinches.
Hiya, John. It's Gav, mate. Quick one for you. Ori, the cave on top of a mountain. My mate, the Grinch, has been in touch. Very upset.
So, where does he live? Funny one. I'm with you. Love the show, mate.
John, question for you. Where did the Grinch live, if you can't have a cave on the top of a mountain? Ta-ra, mate.
There we go. That was this week's podcast. I think, Angela, that's the last time you'll be with us until next year.
I think so, yeah. So have a lovely Christmas.
Happy Christmas and New Year.
And
you're
going to
be the first person I do that stupid thing. See you next year.
See you next year, John.
I might bump into you before then, in which case it'll be awkward.
Oh, I'll just pretend I haven't seen you. That's what I usually do.
It's been a brutal show for me, this.
And I like your Cardi.
No, it's too late.
Okay.
It's too late. Anyway, I don't know how to say this, but thankfully, Kerry's back next week. Kerry will be back next week. We're live on Absolute Radio from 8 a.m. on Saturday. Angela will be back in due course. But you can find Angela, if you want to see her in the flesh, you can find her warming up for the tour, which starts next year, right?
It starts in February. Makes excellent Christmas presents. Tickets,
the tour?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
Book a ticket to see Angela on tour. If you don't like the person, book it at the other end of the country and don't book accommodation or travel.
Yeah, I'll take anyone.
Thanks so much. See you next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.